Our Old Testament reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. I will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Just love.
Our epistle reading comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, a great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ, for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from John chapters 15 and 16. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Congregation, may be seated.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can these dry bones live? The question dances in the mind. Can these dry bones live? How did they get in such a state? Are we talking about generations past and generations yet to come, all taking part in the one thing that binds us all together. On Memorial Day, we might ask, is this the result of a great battle? Do the bones live, if only for a second, when they are found on some distant battlefield and repatriated? Even kings are occasionally found. England found Richard III on Bosworth Field this past year, under a parking lot. The Archbishop of Canterbury reburied those bones in Leicester Cathedral, Richard's ancestral home. Can these bones live? Was a question that poet laureate Carol Ann Duffy was thinking in the poem read by Richard's distant relative, Benedict Cumberbatch, when they put down his dry bones. My bones, scripted in light upon cold soil, a human braille. My skull, scarred by a crown, emptied of its history. Describe my soul as incense, votive, vanishing. Your own the same. Grant me the carving of my name. These relics bless. Imagine you retie a broken string and on it thread a cross, the symbol severed from me when I died, the end of time, an unknown, an unfelt loss, unless the resurrection of the dead. Or once I dreamed of this, your future breath, in prayer for me, lost long, forever found. Or sensed you from the backstage of my death, as kings glimpse shadows on a battleground. Resurrection of the dead. Can these bones live? And what does it mean to live? God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over these bones. Hear the word of the Lord. And he prophesied as commanded, and the bones took on flesh, but there was no breath. Prophesy again, breathe on them that they might live. And he prophesied as commanded, and the breath entered, and they lived. They stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. But what are these bones? It must have been on Ezekiel's mind. It's the natural question. Why do you show me these things, O God? Who are these bones? Because God tells him. These dry bones are the whole house of Israel. A house that says, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. I couldn't help but think of this reading the recent Pew Report on American Religion and the countless gallons of ink spilled on it. The report is not all bad news. If the headline was. The headline was the jump in the number of nuns, those not expressing any religion, and the decline in those claiming Christianity. But underneath the top line, there were large differences. The Christian decline came mainly from Catholics and mainline Protestants. The absolute number of evangelicals actually increased, if slightly below the pace of the American population's growth. Yet the feeling among many, myself included at times, can sound like the house of Israel. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. Therefore, prophesy. and say to them, thus says the Lord God, look, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Easter is real. It's not just some metaphor. It's not some faint gleam, unless the resurrection of the dead. Thus says the Lord God, look, I will open your graves. These dry bones will live, an exceedingly great army. As Christ was raised, so we will be. Ezekiel saw it and prophesied. Peter saw it and witnessed. But that isn't where God stops. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Pentecost is real. Pentecost changed things. And I want to talk about at least three things that Pentecost changes. The first is the reach of this good news. The Spirit used to be particular, a special sign of the covenant. Moses had it, and a portion was taken from him and placed on the 70, but it was veiled to the rest of Israel. The Spirit spoke by the prophets, but Moses and Elijah would both complain about its limits. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that he would put his spirit on them, Moses says. And Elijah said, they've killed all the prophets, and now I alone am left. But in these last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Jesus himself is the pinnacle of the prophets in this regard. The Spirit, fully given to him in those waters of the Jordan, has been poured out. The waters are now a blessing instead of the chaos. But he is sent when Jesus goes away. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Christ, that Son of Man, took that spirit of the covenant and made a new covenant, a covenant of his blood. And he pours out that spirit through these sacraments on us profligately, universally. Sons and daughters, young men and old, servants, Cretans and Arabians, Romans and Egyptians, all who believe and are baptized will be saved. The second thing that Pentecost changes is the stakes and perceptions. This one's a little more difficult, but it's a direct line from that universal pouring out. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Paul, preaching in Athens, says in Acts 17, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Whereas before Pentecost, ignorance might actually have been an excuse, after the pouring out, the world is without excuse. The word of the resurrection has been proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And the Spirit is active, and it convinces or convicts of these things. sin. Either we admit that we are sinful and in need of a Savior and welcome the grace of Christ given to us freely, or we don't believe it. The Spirit convicts the world of sin, either towards absolution or to the hardening of our hearts. Righteousness. Christ was crucified as a criminal. His own rejected him as a false Messiah. The Romans rejected him as a false king. Even his disciples fled. Even after the resurrection, they were still in hiding. What changed that? The work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit testifies that he is risen. The Spirit testifies that that cross is not the greatest shame in the world, but is the world's salvation. The Spirit convicts of his righteousness, seen clearly on that paradoxical cross. We either see that cross, or we crucify him again as unrighteous. Judgment. The history of the world could be told as one thing after another, with there never being any justice. Yet we crave justice. We want the unjust punished and the brave buried properly. Rarely do you find the man who denies there is any valid morality. This is the work of the Spirit. We are convinced, we are convicted that there is a judgment. Yet the real difference is in the belief. Are we convicted that Christ is on the throne and our accuser has been thrown down? Or do we usurp that role ourselves? Our demands for justice all the greater when we usurp it, because we don't believe that he's there. All the more desperate and cruel for our petty justice now, because we don't believe in the resurrection. The Holy Spirit convicts. It's a time of choosing, not of overlooking. Pentecost changes things. We're no longer free to claim ignorance because that Spirit convicts. The Spirit gives what Moses had hoped for, that all might prophesy. And that work of the prophet is simply to witness, to tell the word of the Lord. I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. These dry bones will live. An exceedingly great army, a countless host in white. Amen.